Coming up on Dish and Dirt with Gary Pickren, we are now weekly. I know you can hardly contain your excitement. Believe me, excitement is in the air and it's just palpable. But on this, the third episode, that's right, the third episode of Dish and Dirt, CoWealth Banker's very own number one agent in the Carolinas is going to be with us. And of course, we're talking about no other than the affable Patrick O'Connor. Patrick has brought along with him Blair's Cato's own alum and Patrick's buying agent, Hannah Norman. And together today, they're going to be dishing dirt on marketing through video. And these guys really know video, some of the best in the industry at it. So stay tuned. And also on this episode, a new segment for new building and new construction. And one of my very best friends, Eddie Yandel from Executive Construction Homes, is going to be here today to talk to you about the problems with wood. Yes, only in 2020 could we actually have wood as an issue. But wood's a big issue these days, and I'll tell you why. Crazy Corona Closing segment will also be here with Gary's Good News, where we only go over good news in the real estate market, the economy, and even with the coronavirus. But before we get to our guest today, I want to take a second to thank all of y'all for all the unwavering support. It's been rather tremendous these last 3 weeks. And if you like us, please share, like, listen, and of course, rate us. 5 stars is always better than 1 or 2. You can also check us out on YouTube by typing in Blair Cato in the YouTube search box. Lastly, if you want to follow me on Instagram, you can do so at Pickren Gary. That's PickrenGary. And now to the show. I know the anticipation's been killing you, so let's just get right to it. All right, so today's guest with me today is Patrick O'Connor and Hannah Norman, and they are with the Patrick O'Connor team, which is, as I understand, the number one team in the Carolinas for CoWealth Banker.
That's right.
Well, Patrick and I have been friends for a couple of years. Hannah has worked with us at Blair Cato Pickering and Castellon for about a year and a half before going to work with Patrick when she graduated the University of South Carolina. So I wanted you guys to come in today and let's talk about what, in my opinion, separates you from a lot of other agents, and that's your incredible use of video in your marketing. And what we know is that real estate listings with video receive 403% more inquiries than those that don't have video. And so I believe if you're a local agent trying to penetrate in our market, it's extremely crowded right now. There's, what, 4,000 agents? Mm-hmm. So I think if you're that agent, video production and optimization through social media, which Hannah's phenomenal at, is the key to your growth. To start, I wanted really, because I think this is very important to kind of see that you don't have to have a marketing background, you don't have to have a sales background to become the number one person in the market. So Patrick, you've got a very interesting story. How did you get in this business? Where did you start before this?
So I actually have a background in music education, school administration. I was an orchestra conductor for a suburb high school outside of Chicago. Although I'm from Lexington, I ended up in Chicago through school and college and my work there. And I did that for 10 years and I got into investing and flipping and then decided through investing and flipping that I wanted to go into real estate and residential sales, come back to the area where I'm from and kind of start. And that was 6 years ago.
So in 6 years, you went from working in Chicago, not really being in real estate, to now you're the number one agent in the Carolinas for CoWealth Banker. What was it? How would another agent look at you and say, how can I do that?
I think the first thing I did is I went to my broker and I said, okay, what do I need to do to be successful? And I said, tell me what to do and I'll do it. And she gave me a laundry list of things to do and said, you know, the thing about it is I tell everyone this, and 1 out of 100 or 1 out of 1,000 will actually apply these techniques. So a lot of it was just the basic kind of groundwork for becoming a real estate agent. I got up every day early. I did it every day, all day. I spent every single moment of my day working on real estate related business generating activities until 5 or 6 o'clock at night, and got up the next day and did it again. And I continued to do this until I generated business. I think a lot of people, they get going and they don't see that instant gratification or that instant phone call or that lead or that buyer or seller, and they give up pretty quickly. But I just would not give up. And I did that for about 5 or 6 months until I started generating some business. And luckily, pretty quickly, I figured out that I needed to do something different to separate myself in the market. And that's when I came upon really utilizing video, which at that time was done in this market. It was kind of the beginning of video showing up in this market, but I definitely grabbed a hold of that and started running.
Well, I've always thought your videos are kind of cutting edge, and it seems to be that your videos take it to that next level. So what is it about video that you found effective? How has video helped you grow your business?
I was really lucky. When I started shooting video, I got results right away. So I said, this is going to work. My very first property tour video, it was me standing up in front of the house, talking about the house. Really, who cares? But that's what I did when I started. And a couple from DC bought the house sight unseen based on the video and the pictures. So I said, absolutely, this is what I need to be doing. So I got lucky and I continued to do it. My videos started off, they were awful. And they got better and better. I just kept after it and trying and making mistakes and doing it over and over. But I really tried to create videos that weren't just the general property videos that a lot of people do, but videos that are creative and really help engagement and are interesting.
So give me some examples, because I love your videos that you do on houses. They're not, like you said, it's not just you walking around going, here's a bathroom, here's a bedroom, here's a kitchen.
Yeah.
What are some different things you do?
In my first year, I did a video, which is not an original idea. I know other agents and other markets have done it, with kids playing hide and go seek. And the way you see the property is through the kids kind of going through the house hiding. I did it with my own kids. And that video had 47,000 views in about 2 weeks. It really went crazy in this market. The lady who bought the house said that, you know, she had kids and she watched that video 100 times thinking about her kids.
So she related to it.
She related to it. It evoked emotion. So when I shoot a video, and I do a lot of different kind of videos, but the video that I've seen has really, I've gotten the most out of it, you know, for my clients, for that property, and that's generated even more business. And, you know, one reason I do videos to sell a house, but another reason I do it is to generate more business. And I get a lot of calls where people say, you know, I'm calling you because you're the video guy. We want you to do a video like that for our house. So the challenge then is to come up with creative ideas that fit the property, which is probably one of my favorite things, but one of the most challenging things I have to do.
So outside of doing the show me the property kind of videos, what other items or things are you using video for?
Yeah, so I vlog. I started vlogging, I would say, November of last year. I was really a little nervous about it. It was just really uncomfortable to vlog, but I had a lot of agents in other markets tell me that was something I needed to grab a hold of, and there aren't any agents in this market I'm aware of doing it. I put out my first vlog right before my 20-year high school reunion, and I went to my reunion, and, you know, everybody looks different after 20 years. I didn't recognize a lot of people. But what I found pretty quickly is a lot of people recognized me from the vlog. So I feel like I've constantly gotten really lucky with video, where I'll put out a video and then something will happen where I'll go, okay, I need to be comfortable with this because it works. I'm now on vlog 29 is coming out this week. I really enjoy it.
And your vlogs aren't necessarily about real estate. They're about you as a person, things you're doing, things in the community, the teams.
Philly. You know, Philly's really popular, and my driver.
Philly's his driver, yeah. Of course. Not the city Philly.
She'll go to, you know, to the restaurant or to Publix, and people stop her. She's getting more popular than me. Yeah. And I think what's cool about that is you really get it helps me find my tribe. You know, you're either going to like me or not. You're going to want to work with me or not. But this really helps to ensure that people who are like-minded get to know me and not just the real estate me. And it's really been helpful for me to, in that first meeting with somebody, if they follow me, if they watch me, and then they call me to sell their house, we already feel like we have a connection, which is great.
Right. Now, on video, so that's kind of a macro level, I like to say. I think video is good macro and micro. Macro, yeah. Trying to send it out to as many people and to create that connection as you can. But you're also using it on a micro level, too.
Yeah,
and you use BombBomb, I believe, is your platform that you still use.
Yeah, BombBomb and Zoom, definitely.
Okay.
So, especially when the pandemic happened, the quarantine, I switched 100% to a virtual business. Spent most of my days on Zoom talking to buyers or sellers when I could. I would do a property tour with Zoom. And I actually had so much success. I think the team sold around 80 homes or so during that couple of month process of quarantine, the stay at home virtually, mm-hmm. which was great. I know for sure I sold, I think, 35 listings virtually where I never stepped foot in the property. I never met the sellers, it didn't even see them at closing because everything was done virtually. I had so much success that Coldwell Banker actually had me teaching agents across the country through Zoom how they could run a virtual business. We were lucky in our area. We could still go out and still operate business, but there were a lot of areas that were completely shut down.
Right.
Where they were forced to. But yeah, BombBomb to communicate with buyers and sellers, to follow up with leads. I find that at first when I started using BombBomb, the reaction you would get, I know you're a big fan of BombBomb,
right.
I love it. It was a little odd at the beginning. People go, what is this video message? A little bit like when people were sending audio messages. Hannah, right. Did you ever use those?
The speak to talk.
I hated that.
Yeah.
Because I just felt like, I don't know, I have an issue, like everyone, when they shoot a video, like, I don't like the way I sound in the video. I'll listen back to this and go, gosh, I sound like that, really? But so I never grabbed a hold of that voice to text thing, but I'd send out video messages through BombBomb. People would be like, this is kind of weird. What is this?
Right.
Well, let me tell you, when everything happened and people switched to Zoom for their meetings and their work, and video became not just a method of communication, but an expected method of communication, BombBomb videos just, for me, were way more effective than sending an email or a text, because they get to see you and connect with right. you. So I definitely, and especially for dead leads or people I can't get in touch with that maybe reach out once, I'll send them a BombBomb video, screen share, show them properties on MLS, talk about the areas, really ramble on for 5-10 minutes. And who knows if they're going to watch it or not, but more times than not, they watch it, they appreciate it, and they reach back out.
But I think it's very clear to everybody that video is key. I think it is effective for boosting your lead generation, booking meetings, saving time, like you talked about with Zoom meetings and not having to go to houses. For us, teaching education on video was excellent because agents didn't have to get dressed, come down here, sit all day, and waste the whole day. They could literally do it at home and get work done.
I took your class, and I sat out back on the back porch smoking a cigar listening to you teach a real estate course. It was great.
And I like it because I have a face for radio, so it worked very well. Now, the thing I think that people struggle with video is you shoot these wonderful videos, but if 3 people look at it, what's the matter? It's like doing this podcast. If nobody listens to it, then what's the purpose? Yeah. Luckily, we're getting a very good audience already. But if you don't have somebody looking at your videos, what does it matter? So what are you finding? And maybe this is a question for Hannah. How are you helping the team get that video message out?
Well, Patrick boosts a lot of his posts, which I don't really boost yet. But I came into real estate already with a really big sphere of people on Facebook and Instagram.
You have like 12,000 followers.
I have 12,000 followers, but a lot of them are from Columbia. They're my age. They're not really looking for real estate stuff.
Right now, but they will.
They will. So it's like interesting trying to find like the perfect balance of real estate and my social life too, because I don't want to completely turn all my followers off to my other life and then just do real estate. So I think it's really important to maintain a 50-50, 50% real estate on social media, and then 50% of your family. They want to know you as a person as well. So I think like with the videos and the pictures, posting it on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, posting it on your stories, just trying to get a lot of engagement. And a lot of the numbers, as they are important to have a bunch of followers, those are just a number. If you actually look at engagement and the amount of people who are commenting and liking your pictures, sharing it, those are how you get more people to engage with the post.
So what's the trick in getting somebody to comment?
I think for real estate videos, asking a question like, what would you do if you were in this kitchen? Like, what would you cook or something like that? Right. The buyers are picturing themselves in that kitchen. They're going to comment below, get more engaged. You'll be able to see who's commenting, and then you reach them as well.
And I've seen people ask, what do you think this house is listed for and things like that. And so the more comments you get, the higher you'll stay on the, I guess, engagement for Facebook and Instagram. More it'll be out there. Is that kind of what it is?
The more comments, the more shares, you continue at the top of the feed. And then it doesn't have to just be real estate people commenting. They don't have to just be wanting to buy. But the most comments you get, the more you get, the more you stay top of mind.
And what about hashtags, hashtagging videos? Hashtags, I mean, I don't even know what it looks like, a tic-tac-toe bar. I don't even know what it is.
So hashtags are really hard because everyone's trying to get the perfect hashtag. So if you hashtag real estate, you're just a number on a million people who are hashtagging real estate. So you want to try and get it down to your market. So Columbia real estate. So people who Google Columbia real estate, your pictures are coming up.
Or tagging the location.
Or tagging the location on the pictures.
And the videos.
And the videos.
One thing that Hannah's really helped me with, and we were just working on this today, you know, I do these market updates and we read from a script. You know, I have my laptop set up. I have another computer screen behind it. I'm looking right at the camera, but I'm reading like a teleprompter. But one thing that Hannah's really got me down to is, you've got to tighten up that script. You've got to really make sure that you're getting out the information you want as quickly as possible, because they're not looking for your information. They're not looking for a market update, but you might be able to keep them longer engaging and listening and watching through the through play on Facebook Boost, for an example, if you really tighten it up and give just the information.
Right. I had an agent from Greenville reach out on our first podcast, and she said, I listen to a lot of podcasts, but the reason I liked yours so much was there was none of this fluff of, hey, what's going on? How's life treating you? It was literally, let's jump right into the topic and talk.
Speaking of that, I think what would be really good to talk about, because I love this opportunity to talk about video, but talking about like really how you do it, where you, and you mentioned that, but where you put these videos. I think, you know, I'm an open book. I share everything I do. And I think the more, I think everyone should be shooting video, because the reality is if you don't, it's, you're at risk for becoming irrelevant, because right, everything's moving to video. Online marketers, you know, 87% of them as of a survey last year use video as a method of marketing. But of course, you put it on Facebook, Instagram. I've had a lot of business come from LinkedIn, not a lot of people sharing their real estate videos on LinkedIn. Also through the back end of the website, making sure that your video is attached to your listings, which is huge. But most of all, making sure that you're giving either creative, interesting, fun content for them to watch, or really, really great information. You know, no fluff, no BS, just really great, solid information.
Well, what I found mainly with my videos is when I walk into a closing, somebody's like, I know you. And I'm like, you really don't know me. But when I watch movies with The Rock on it, I feel like Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and I are best friends.
Oh, I'm best friends with him.
I feel like I'm best friend. Yeah, if I sit beside him on a plate, I could talk to him all day, and he doesn't know who I am.
Have you tried his tequila?
Not yet.
That's great.
But I watched him make it margaritas one day on Instagram. So because you see that person so many times, you get a familiarity with them and almost feel like they're friends of yours. A couple things before we finish is video is you look like you look and you sound like you sound. And when people listen to themselves, they're like, I don't like the way I sound. I don't like the way I look. Well, you look like that and you sound like that. Yeah. So just kind of get over yourself, is my opinion.
Yeah.
So in the last minute or so we have left, how do you recommend somebody get started in video?
So I started with just my phone and my computer. I shoot a lot of just general market update videos using my laptop with a computer screen behind it to read from it, you know, looking right in the camera. I also have a video crew for my creative videos for properties. They also do just general property tours. I've got a separate crew for my vlogs. I like to keep them separate because, you know, my property video guy is great. He's a wedding videographer and he does just beautiful, just really creative. He gets across what I want to in that. For the vlog, I'm looking for something different. So I never want the two to be too similar. Style. So I love that I use
an agent starting out on video, if they're going to do home tours of homes, essentially, like you do, they need to go out and spend money and have a good videographer do that. That's not something they need to try on their cell phone.
So I spend about $120,000 to $140,000 a year in pictures, high-quality video,
because
it sells the house. Right. But I would say that, no, you don't have to go like I have. I mean, I've gone kind of nuts with it. My next thing is to hire a full-time videographer. I mean, I want somebody capturing everything I'm doing so I can, when I have an idea or something I want to shoot, I can shoot it and have it out that day or, you know, really quickly and not be buried by doing all the work, because it is a lot of work. I mean, right. I spent an hour and a half today, like trying to shoot a video that I did not end up finishing.
But I think it's also important. We're not movie stars. Like, you can mess up. Like, I think it's good to have your personality. Yeah.
It's human to say hum and haw and scratch your head and things. I agree.
But just doing it. And I would say if you want to start in video, I think the first thing you should do is get on your laptop, use that camera, read from a script, and give market updates. Here's what is happening in this area. Here's what's happening over here. I did a ton of that during quarantine, and I was getting come list me calls because I was, to them, the people that saw it, the market expert, the person that had a plan and a strategy for dealing with COVID. So I would say that's a great place to start. And, you know, I don't mind sharing kind of my tactics with people because my circle is different from another agent. And I really hope that all the other agents in the market reach out to their people through video. I think you can engage with them. It's a cheap thing to do. You throw up on your page and it's super effective.
So the key here is, start small. Don't try to do 15 different types of videos. Start with one thing, master it, move on to the next. And if you're going to do house videos, you got to spend the money there. You can't use your cell phone. Well, cool, guys. I really appreciate y'all being here today. I think it was a lot of great information. And I hope you guys will come back and do another podcast with us.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
So we have a new segment for you guys called Playing in Dirt with Builders. And today is our very special first guest, is award-winning former president of the Building Industry of Central South Carolina Eddie Andel of Executive Construction Homes. Now, Eddie is a certified master builder in South Carolina, and his company, ECH, builds custom designer elite homes, villa homes from the 200,000s all the way up to $2 million in the Columbia area on your lot or in their numerous communities. Eddie's not only one of my very best friends, but he also built my house, and we absolutely love it. So, Eddie, you're here today to talk to us about wood, and only in 2020 would wood be something we'd have to talk about.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
Well, Eddie, I really do appreciate you coming today. So what in the world is going on with wood, and where wood now is like toilet paper was when the pandemic began?
Essentially two things. We have price and availability. Got two sectors working at the same time. It's kind of weird.
So what in the world's going on with price of wood?
Price of wood had a huge spike due to several OSB plants having to shut down due to COVID regulations, which, you know, they were at full capacity when they shut down, but yet demand was still there. So that essentially just drives the price straight up because, you know, if you can't produce it and you got it on the yard, then it's worth that much more.
What kind of price increase are we talking about? Say a sub $300,000 house and then a more expensive house?
Overall, total lumber price on the sub 300 house is running us in the neighborhood of $8,500.
Wow. And how about the more expensive semi-customs that you do so well?
Anywhere from $25,000 to $40,000 just for the lumber.
So that's adding to the price of the house without any additional profit to the builder. That's just to build the house.
That is correct. You know, and of course, they can't go up in price that fast. So the majority of it right now, we're taking a hit on these because I just don't believe appraisals will come up that quickly with them.
Wow. So you were talking to me earlier today about OSB boards. Like, give an example of just that one board of how it went from, like, I think you said like $8 to 20 something.
Yeah, essentially it went from in May, we went from essentially $9 a board to right now we're paying $23.50 a board.
Well, so that definitely is going to add to the cost of anybody buying new construction here. Do we see any relief in sight at all?
Yeah, according to the chart that I follow and everybody follows on the commodity chart, we reached our spike about 2 weeks ago, which should bleed down to possibly mid December, where the relief will come back to us to close to where we were before.
But we're not going to see an immediate decrease in the price of housing because it's a lot of the houses that are already under construction already have the more expensive wood in it, correct?
Yeah, they took it. And also all the lumber yards are full of that expensive wood right now. They have to move that wood at some type of profit or very close to par what they paid for it. Everybody that bought it at the peak's got to move it and not go broke doing it.
So it looks like it's going to be a while before pricing can stabilize on that. So what about the availability? It truly seems like toilet paper. I still never figure out why toilet paper got hoarded during the pandemic, but it seems like the availability now of wood, windows, things of that nature, truss are really a problem.
The wood's not as much a factor as the windows and the trusses are, even though it is a factor. I think your wood availability is based on your history with the lumber yards. In my particular instance, we have a really good history with our yard, so they keep a certain amount for us. They know how much we're going to be doing, so of course they don't want to run out of it. That's how they purchased us, based on past history. Windows, a different story. Prior to this, we were, for instance, when we were building your house or any house up until the last 6 months, 2 to 3 weeks max on window lead time. Now if I could get them in 12 weeks, I'd be jumping for joy. They won't guarantee me that at this point in time.
And so a lot of builders, they build their schedule about when they get certain items. And if they get these windows in at the very beginning, they can either get stolen or broken. So it can really delay some builders getting their product done when they have scheduled to get it done.
Certainly, yeah. For the first time since I've been building houses, I'm scheduling my starts around when my windows and trusses will drop. I'm actually ordering windows and trusses prior to even pulling permits in many instances.
Well, wow. 2020, it's crazy that windows, truss, price of lumber is going up. Whoever would have thought? It's just another craziness of this year, no doubt about. Well, Eddie, I really do appreciate you coming today. I hope that you'll come back again in the future and keep us up to date on what's going on with builders.
I certainly will. Just let me know what you need.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Many of you who do closings at Blair Cato know Ashton, our marketing coordinator in our Lexington office. Now, Ashton, before becoming marketing coordinator, was a marketing intern for us while she finished up at the University of South Carolina. And if you know Ashton, one thing you'll know about her is that she's very conscientious about what she does. Well, when the coronavirus started back in March and we were doing closings in the parking lot, some of our clients were very concerned about being near other people. And so we had this one particular client who was extremely concerned about closing. And when we went out to give her the documents, she literally would roll the window down about a quarter of an inch and make you slide everything through the slot. And she, of course, had the gloves on, the glasses, the mask. And Ashton needed to get her driver's license because we're required to get a copy of the driver's license. Well, this lady did not want to hand her the license, so Ashton said, well, how about put it up against the windshield, the window, and I'll take a picture of it through the window with my cell phone. So the lady puts it on the rubber gasket part between the door and the driver's side window, and of course, it drops into the door, and the lady cannot get it out. Ashton was completely horrified. The lady, thankfully, was very, very nice about it, said it wasn't her fault. And but I understand the lady had to go to the dealer to have the door panel taken off so she could get her driver's license taken out of the door. So yet another example of your crazy Corona closings. And now to our final segment, Gary's Good News Only. National Public Radio has a great article out today that talks about two studies that point to a big drop in COVID-19 death rates. The article says two new peer-reviewed studies are showing a sharp drop in mortality among hospitalized COVID-19 patients. The drop is seen in all groups, including older patients and those with underlying condition, suggesting that physicians are getting better at helping physicians survive their illness. Patients in the study had a 25.6 chance of dying at the start. They now have a 7.6% chance. The second of the two studies says, I would classify this as a silver lining to what has been quite a hard time for many people. This is Bila Matan, a data scientist fellow at the Alan Turing Institute in the United Kingdom, who conducted research on 21,000 hospitalized cases in England and also found similarly sharp drop in the death rate. He says the drops are clearly across all ages, underlying condition, and racial groups. So what are the death numbers in the United States? Well, let's look at two age groups. If you are under the age of 25 in the United States, there are 103,258,000 of you. And if you're under 25, only 448 people in your age group have died with COVID, not from COVID, but with COVID. And when you try to figure out what percentage that is of the 103 million, my calculator doesn't work that way. It adds a bunch of letters like E's at the end. So it's so small that basically, as the scientists say, you have a basically 0% chance of dying from COVID if you're under the age of 25. Now, if you're under the age of 65, there are 274,181,260 of you in the United States. And of that, 43,043 have died with COVID. That death rate is 0.01% of the population. So putting that a little bit in perspective, for certain age groups, it seems like things are much better. Now, on the last piece of news that I think is just fantastic, many of you have probably heard of the company Purdue Pharma. They're the makers of OxyContin, which is probably the worst drug ever created. Well, that company today pled guilty to criminal charges for knowingly and intentionally conspiring and agreed with others to aid and abet the dispensing of medicine from doctors without a legitimate medical purpose and outside the usual course of professional practice. In their plea bargain with the United States, they have pled guilty to federal charges and a settlement of more than $8 billion, with the Sackler family losing control of the company. Congratulations to the United States Department of Justice for hopefully bringing some of this to an end with OxyContin. And so that's our show for today. I'd like to once again thank Patrick O'Connor and Hannah Norman for all their great information. Next week is going to be an incredible episode as well. It will come out Thursday morning, and it's going to be with the number 4 agent for Keller Williams in the entire world, Stephen Cooley. From the Stephen Cooley Real Estate Group will be with us, and we will be talking about when, how, and should you build a team. So y'all join us next week. You can search for us on any podcast platform, or you go to Google, type in Gary Pickering Podcast. Please like us, share us, but most importantly, come back and listen to us again. Thanks, guys. Have a great week.